Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We bring in Brad Turner now from the LA Times. He joins us here on The Fan. Good morning to you, Brad.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing back there?
All good, man. Brad, were you shocked with what happened last night?
Yes. Are you kidding me? Let's just start with the team losing to Indiana by 42 points, traveling to Boston to play a Celtics team that had won, I think, what, five straight games. And all of a sudden, you get down by 18. And I'm thinking to myself, it's over. This would be the second straight loss. In reality, the third straight loss on the road, because it began at Golden State, 2 days off, traveling to Indiana, and then go to Boston. But then they rallied to come back. And they get down again. And there's back and forth. And then they hit a game-winning shot from Rondo. Yeah, I was shocked. Very shocked.
All right, Brad, I want to start now. Let's walk backwards here on what we didn't see and what we heard throughout this entire Anthony Davis process. And I'm going to start with the guy at top, Magic Johnson. Look, he's my favorite player in the history of basketball. I love everything that he stands for. But I want to ask you how you think he's done so far with running the Los Angeles Lakers as the president of this team.
Well, I think he's done a good job, maybe even a really good job. Number one, he traded away all those bad contracts to get two max salary slots that we seem to forget about. I mean, Luol Deng, he was able to stretch him. He was able to get the D'Angelo Russell traded along with a couple other guys so he could actually have this space to make room to get LeBron James to come in, which would be number two thing. And they still have this young talent available. So the idea that he has put them in position to go after a top talent next summer, despite the fact they didn't get Anthony Davis, but to clear the cap space, that wasn't easy to do. And he and Rob Pelinka worked on that very diligently, very hard. You know, so if you look at the overall picture of everything he's done with Rob Pelinka in the last 2 years, I mean, they've done a good job. I mean, every team now, look at the Clippers right now, the New York Knicks, both teams made moves to clear salary cap space. The Lakers did that last summer.
Okay, well then let if you're one of these free agents this summer, and you look at Steve Ballmer, Jerry West in that front office, Doc Rivers, and you turn around and you look at Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, and I'm not sure what you think of Luke Walton yet. We'll get to that. What's the destination for you, and you think what the team is going to look like in 5 years from now with an aging LeBron James? What's a better destination for you? And I get the fact it's the Lakers. I get that's the Tiffany logo on the front of the jersey compared to the Clippers. But if you're one of these free agents, where do you want to play, and who do you think gives you the best opportunity down the line to win?
Well, it depends on what do you want as a free agent. Do you want to win an NBA championship? Do you want to go and try to build your own brand and try to win, try to help a team win a title like the Clippers that hasn't done that? You walk into a place like the Lakers and you see all those retired names up there, Kobe, Wilt, Kareem, Magic, Jerry West, Shaq, and that can really knock your socks off. I mean, that can woo you right away. But then you have someone working with the Clippers, Jerry West, Steve Ballmer. You have this great communicator in Doc Rivers, and they're building something very special over there as well. How to make that decision, that's up to each and every individual. I mean, Magic is a very good person at selling the Lakers. Jerry West has become very good at selling the Clippers, along with Steve Ballmer. He's one of the most amazing owners I've met over my careers. Very nice man, obviously very rich man. But it's hard to say what these guys are looking for because they move all over the place. Let's not forget, the New York Knicks will be in this. They'll be looking for someone to come play for them. They got two slots. The Golden State Warriors have all these guys that could leave, say Thompson, Kevin Durant. Maybe they want to stay up at Golden State. Maybe Kawhi Leonard wants to stay in with the Toronto Raptors. You know, so it's just to be able to read the tea leaves, man, that is so hard to do. I don't know what's in these guys' mind. I mean, the other day, think about this. Just the other day, Kevin Durant goes off on the media. About what? Because he didn't want to talk about free agency. Something that he wanted to talk about when the season started. But, man, it's just hard to say. I mean, what do you want to do going forward? Because if you take the Lakers, for example, you say 5 years out, what if they sign one of these free agent players this summer? And then what happens if they do find a way to trade for Anthony Davis? Now you got two young talents to go forward, even in LeBron's aging years. But it's just, man, these players make decisions based on their own whims, their own needs, their own brands. So how to decide who's going to go where, I just can't do that.
Brad Turner, LA Times, here on The Fan. Brad, if you look at all everything you just laid out here, is there a free agent that you think that LeBron would prefer to play with? And again, this may sound like a simplistic question here. I mean, the obvious choice would be KD. But as you said, I mean, if KD's worried about legacy, he stays in Golden State. If he's thinking about enhancing a team, he looks at the New York Knicks, which I would think would make New York City very happy, especially in the commissioner's office, that he would put another talent like that back on the Eastern Conference. I mean, so is there a guy? And kind of a small part to that question, have they hurt their chances at getting Anthony Davis this summer? Because, look, he'll be an asterisk free agent because, to me, I don't believe the Pelicans are going to wait the whole year and a half because you lose leverage. Play this out for me here.
Well, who does he want to play with, man? I haven't asked him that question, to be honest. And I think if he got Kevin Durant, he would not be sad about that. Or if he got someone like Kawhi Leonard, he would not be sad about that. If he reunited with Kyrie Irving, he would not be sad about that. I mean, think about this. Doing his draft last night with Giannis, who did he pick? He picked all those guys that are going to be free agents next year. Right?
By design. Hey, do you think that's by design, Brad? You think that's by design?
Oh, man. Look, the guy is a very calculating, smart person. I mean, he chose KD first. Then he chose Kyrie Irving first. Then Kawhi Leonard. Well, it just so happens they will all be free agents this summer. Hey, guys. Well, hey, isn't this fun playing in the All-Star game together? What do you think about playing for the Lakers next season? I mean, I'm not saying that's what he did, but I'm saying that's what he might have done, did.
Hey, Brad, very, you know what I mean? Very, very New England Patriot-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
Brad Turner here from the LA Times with us. All right, let's add just another dynamic into it, too. The likelihood that the Lakers sign Carmelo Anthony.
Well, I think they're looking to see who else is out there in the market when they get bought out before they look at Carmelo Anthony. I mean, obviously, that's what LeBron James wants in his team. But the Lakers are being very smart in this regard, at least. They're looking to see, can they find another player that gets waived in the next, you know, week to 10 days, and then they make a decision after that. But there's no rush to sign Carmelo Anthony right away.
Philadelphia, give me your impressions of what they did leading up to the trade deadline. Have they now pushed themselves into the room now where they're one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference?
Man, that's a really good question. You know, I covered Tobias Harris last year with the Clippers, and it's my first time actually seeing him play that much because who watched Detroit play? I mean, let's be honest. I didn't watch him a lot, and he's very, very good. So if you look at that team, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, now they had Tobias Harris. And in the East, looking at Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, and I ruled out the Pacers because of the injury they've got to Oladipo. But those are the top four teams in my eyes in the East. And how that plays out would be fun to see. Milwaukee made a big move, getting Miritich from the Pelicans. I do like Philadelphia, but I have to admit, the teams I like the most right now are Milwaukee and Toronto. I just think there's something special with those two teams. They play together really well all season long. The Celtics are still tough. They got to the conference finals without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Man, look, it's a tough thing to decide on. I mean, any one of those four teams to me could come out of the East.
Two last.
You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing it. Beat each other up. Battle to the end.
Absolutely. I think the East has all of a sudden, almost within the last 3 months, has become really a must-watch destination for viewers with the NBA. Brad Turner, LA Times, couple last questions here. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they have struggled in Boston with Kyrie? And, I mean, is it really just about chemistry? I keep hearing that word. And, look, Brad, I'm a former NFL guy too, so I know that chemistry is not just some sort of media word. There is something to that, that if you all love each other, you all play along each other, you usually get great results. But like you said, Hayward being put back in the lineup, Kyrie Irving really not fitting. God, he missed a ton of shots last night too in that 18-point loss to them. I mean, they had an 18-point lead. Then they gave it back to the Lakers. Is it really about chemistry, in your opinion, in Boston?
You know, that's a major part of it, but it's also because the young guys had so much freedom in the playoffs last year. Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, you know, all those guys, and Marcus Smart had a chance to just go out there and spread their ring. Terry Rozier. Now they did all of that with a heavy workload, a lot of minutes. That's been cut back. They don't have the ball as much. They get less shots. They've been asked to be more almost role players when they was thrust into a star position, and they succeeded doing that. You bring Kyrie back, you bring Gordon back, and you're telling Terry Rozier you're not just starter anymore. You're not playing 30, 35 minutes. You're going to play about 22, 25 at the most per night. It's been hard for them to make that adjustment. They haven't had internal strife with it, but they still had this mental anguish to get over that I was sort of like the man. Now I'm just another role player. And it's been hard for them to adjust to that. Even they played 50-some games. You know, they started to play really well as of late. But the idea that this group could not quite get it together, Kyrie makes his comments, "Hey, LeBron, I know what you mean now about these young guys." Well, if you're a young guy, you don't want to hear that. Not publicly. You know, and he said that. I understand where he was coming from, but it's just trying to get everyone on the proverbial same page, and they've had a hard time doing that most of the season, but it's gotten better.
Brad Turner's now my favorite NBA guy from the LA Times here on The Fan. I mean
hey,
it.
Wait a minute, now?
Yeah, no. Hey, the first time you and I love this, man. No, I think you're sensational here. I'm going to leave you with this last question. I'm going to lead you with this last question here, and you tell me what you think. I've said it all year long. I don't think Luke Walton makes the year. Do you? As head coach of the Lakers.
Well, I'm going to say yes, he does. I mean, I'll say just because of this. There wasn't long ago, maybe a month or so, 6 weeks ago, where the Lakers were the fourth seed in the West. And a few days after they were fourth seed in the West, LeBron James goes down, Rondo goes down. A few days later, Lonzo goes down. Kuzma has a situation with his back and Josh Hart. So I would dare any team in the NBA to lose six players over the course of time and try to maintain where they are. So we have to remember all those things. LeBron had just played his, third game since Christmas. Rondo broke his hand. He came back, broke the finger. Lonzo is still out. Josh Hart is still dealing with tendonitis in his knee. So those are key players to their roster. So we can't forget that. And that's why I think Luke will be around, because the organization knows he's had to deal with a lot. Never mind the fact that all these young guys had a hard time dealing with the trade rumors. It weighed them down. I think they were free after it happened, and now they're really free because they beat the Boston Celtics in the Garden.
Absolutely. I got to sneak this in on you. What do you make of LeVar doing? What do you make of LeVar doing that stuff by calling out? I mean, look, if that's me, I'm in that locker room, and my dad's barking like that. I go to Luke and go, "It's my dad. I'm so sorry here." I mean, how are the Lakers handling all this?
Man, like, they handle it the same way I do. I don't give any oxygen to it.
Gotcha.
It's a loud mouth.
Gotcha. Gotcha, and I leave you with that, Brad, because you know what? I see he's a trash can fire starter, and I think the same thing of him too, man. Brad, we got to do this again, man. I so love what you brought to the show. Thank you so much, my friend.
Well, since I become your favorite NBA guy, anytime.
Yeah, thank you so much. Brad Turner, LA Times, man. I love that, man.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.